Well, good morning, River Church. How are we doing? God is good. Amen? It's hard to sing a song like that and not be reminded of God's goodness. Amen? Amen. Well, good. Well, hey, I'm so happy to be here with you this morning. If you're new here, welcome to the family. We're glad you're here. Our hope for you is the same hope that we have for ourselves. Maybe that's a little selfish, but we hope that you felt right at home as soon as you walked in these doors and that you experienced Jesus in this place. Amen. All right. So we are in week two of a brand new series called Do Hard Things. If you're new or maybe you missed last week, the idea of this series really is that it would challenge us as believers to press into some of the hard things that Jesus asks us to do. Not for the sake of just doing hard things, but in order to be like Jesus. And so this series was really birthed out of the idea from a couple books that I had read. One was called Do Hard Things. So yes, we did steal the name of the book for this series. I hope there's no copyright infringement there. We'll blame Pastor Joel for that if he did. He did the graphic, so we'll blame him. And then another one's called The Comfort Crisis. And basically the idea behind these books was that it's in our nature as human beings to choose the most comfortable path. And everybody said, duh, right? Like, of course, right? Right, and it's in our nature as human beings to choose what is comfortable over what is hard, and sometimes we set up our lives for comfort, to seek comfort, even to our detriment. And as Christians, if we're not careful, we can set up our own lives and our walk with God to be really be comfortable and safe and not really following some of the challenging things that Jesus asks us to do, but always focusing really on maybe more of the easy things he asks us to do to our own, again, detriment, right? But the problem is that the more we set up our lives for comfort, the easier it is to disrupt that comfort. And in the same way, when we set up our walk with God for comfort, we miss out on so much that God wants to do in our lives, show us in our lives. We miss out on growth. We miss out on being a fully formed disciple. Our faith is easily disrupted because ultimately we're seeking comfort and not Jesus. And so in this series, we want to press into the discomfort. We want to press into the uncomfortable things that Jesus asks us to do so our faith would grow, so God would change us, so God would transform us, and that ultimately that we would live not a life of comfort, but a life of value. That we wouldn't live a life of comfort, we would live a life of value as disciples and followers of Jesus. And last week, we started off with an easy one, one that everybody in this room already had down. You're like, we're wasting our time, right? Love your enemies. No problem, right? We ain't got no enemies, right? No. Except for the Clippers today, all right, Mavs fans? There we go, all right. This week, we got a much easier one than last week. It's simply live a life that matters. We want to do hard things. We want to live a life that matters. Like, if I asked the room, if we pulled the room, nobody in here would say, I don't want my life to matter, right? Right, we all want our lives to matter. And by the way, your life does matter, right? I'm not saying your life doesn't matter. Your life does matter. But at the River Church, we have our core values, right? We want to help you know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and we want to help you make a difference because we believe that all Christians are called to make a difference in this world. Amen? And every one of us in here would say, nobody in here would go, I hope my life makes no difference. I hope when I die, nobody remembers me. I hope that this world, it makes no difference if I was here or not. No, we all want to make a difference, right? We all want to bring value to this world. We all want to live a life that matters. And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is going to tell us what that looks like for the Christian. And he's going to show us what it looks like to live a life that matters. But the thing is it's in this series because it's hard. And it's not hard because it's complicated. It's not hard because it's confusing. As a matter of fact, we're going to read the passage. It's pretty straightforward, right? But it's hard for several reasons. One, because passages like this have been used and abused before in the church, so sometimes we don't trust them. It's a passage that calls us to live outside of our own comfort zone. We don't like being called outside of our comfort zone. Amen, right? But ultimately, it's hard because much like last week, and by the way, every single one of these, the things that we're going to be in this series is going to fall into this category. It's hard because it's countercultural. And it's so different than what we're used to, and yet Jesus commands us to do it, and he doesn't really give us a lot of room not to, right? And so we're going to look at it today. Live a life that matters. What does that look like? What does Jesus say? Look at Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19. He says, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Verse 22, the eye is the lamp of the body, and if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So if the light within you is darkness, how deep is that darkness? Verse 24, this is the one we love. For no one can serve two masters, since either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Jesus gives us in this short passage two different views of life. He gives us two different perspectives in life. Look at 19 and 20. He says, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but, here's the second perspective, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves don't break in and steal. So here's the two perspectives to simplify it that Jesus gives us in this passage. One is a life spent chasing things that are finite and will pass away. And the second perspective Jesus gives us is a life spent chasing the eternal. Two perspectives, a life spent chasing the finite and a life spent chasing the eternal. And Jesus lays out for us very simply that everything in this world that we live in today is finite. Now, when I said that, nobody was shocked. What? What do you mean? We know it, we just forget it. Jesus said, everything in this world, eventually the moths are going to get in. You can buy all the fancy clothes and have the nice clothes. Eventually moths are going to get in. They're going to eat it up. Eventually rust is going to take it over and cover it over. Because why? Because despite what they tell you, nothing lasts forever. Yes, a diamond is forever, but you ain't. Nothing lasts forever. And the same that was true some 2,000 years ago when Jesus said this is true today. Nothing in this world lasts forever. Not houses, not cars, not buildings. It all one day will be obsolete. Welcome to church. You're like, what was that Luke series we were doing? Really missed that, right? I was thinking about this, right? I remember, right, when I was a kid, the Texas Rangers Stadium was being built. And already, the new Texas Rangers Stadium has been built, right? The one that when I was a kid was so fancy and new and amazing. Now we need air conditioning because we're wimps. And it's true because it's hot, right? It is true, right? Also, that makes me feel really old, right? I've been around for two stadiums. Wow, right? But let me give you another example, right? I remember, like, my first car. It was given to me, by the way, by a great family friend. And I love that car, right? My very first car is 16, thought it was awesome. But whenever people saw me driving that car, nobody confused it for a Ferrari. You know what I'm saying? Right? I nicknamed it the Flame for a couple reasons. One, because it was red. Two, because it had no air conditioning. And three, because it wouldn't start in the rain. Like, you walk outside, it's raining, it's like, I guess we're not going out today, right? Like, you're just going to hang out, right? I love that car, but nobody ever saw me drive, and it was like, man, I can't believe you have that car, Mike. Oh, my gosh, right? Let me drive it, right? Right. I mean, they did say, it's raining. Let's see if we can start it, right? But at some point, someone did feel that way about that car. At some point, now I loved it, but at some point somebody drove that car off the parking lot. It was brand new. They laid down their hard-earned cash or hard-earned credit for this car and drove it off, and they felt like $1,000,000 because at one point that car was nice. Today, it's in a junkyard. Why? Because the nature of life, it's fleeting. Even our bodies are this way, right? And some of us can say amen, right? Like I was a youth pastor for a real long time, and the way I bonded with the youth was by kicking their butts in basketball, right? And so I would play hours and hours of basketball, and then I would just keep going, no stop, no nothing, right? Now I play one game of basketball, I need an ice bath, right? Like a couple years ago, you guys remember this? I threw out my back, putting on a sock. Right? Couldn't get out of bed for a week. Katie literally had to walk me to the bathroom. I could not go to the bathroom, right? Like, I'm like, this is where I am now, right? Why? Because everything in this world is finite. All of our possessions, all of our material possessions are fleeting, are finite. Our own bodies are finite. Every material thing in this world will pass away. And yet the danger of this life is that we can get caught up spending our entire lives chasing material things that will one day end up in a dumpster. One of the greatest lies of the world that we live in is telling us that there's stuff that we can buy that will satisfy our souls. And then we get it. What we find out is, I just need that one more thing. I just need that one more thing. And Ecclesiastes warns us of this. It says, nothing will ever be enough. You'll make $70,000, then you need 80. You make 80, then you need 100. You make 100, then you need 200. I mean, think about just all of the things in our lives. Like, you guys remember when the iPhone was invented? That bad boy came out and we were like, this is the greatest invention known to man. Now, not a single one of us would be dead caught using even an iPhone 5, right? Like, no way, that thing's old, right? No thanks. I gotta have the iPhone 37. Why? Because the commercial said that it will satisfy my life. What's different about the iPhone 37 and the iPhone 36? I don't know, I think the camera's a little bit better, but I have to have it. Why? The commercial said so, Mike. Didn't you see the commercial, right? Everything in this world is designed to make us think that there are some kind of material possession that if I can just get my hands on it, will satisfy me. But everything in this world is fleeting, and we get tricked. Investing our lives, spending our lives chasing stuff that in a few years will end up in a dumpster or be replaced, thinking it will satisfy our souls. And church, that is not a great way to invest our lives. Imagine, speaking of investing, imagine you're getting in the stock market for the first time, and there's, you know, everybody's got an Uncle Jimmy who's got a great stock tip, right? You know what I'm talking about? Right? Cousin Bobby's got a great stock tip, you know, right? And Cousin Bobby or Uncle Jimmy comes to you and he says, man, I got this great stock tip for you, Mike. Here's what I want you to do. Give me all your money. I'm going to invest it in this stock. Now, this stock right now is at an all-time high. I mean, it's as high as it's ever going to go. And in 5 years, it's going to be worth nothing. We're firing Uncle Jimmy, aren't we? Like this guy's an idiot, right? Get away from him. But we invest our lives consuming things that in 5, 10 years... dumpster. So what's the idea? Can't have nice things, can't enjoy life. No, by all means, have nice things, enjoy nice life, enjoy life. Like, I love that car, right? I'm just saying, have the right perspective about the car, right? Just got a new Jeep. I love it. Got to have a right perspective about the Jeep, right? Because instead of pouring out our lives, chasing, investing, building up, piling up treasure that will end up in a landfill, Jesus gives us another perspective. He says, pour out your lives seeking treasure that will last forever, treasure that is eternal. Because we get this confused. Notice Jesus didn't say, don't seek treasure, right? Jesus doesn't say, don't chase treasure. He didn't say, treasure is a waste of your time. Matter of fact, he said, seek treasure, desire treasure, chase treasure, pour your life out for treasure, give all you have for treasure. Just make sure it's the right treasure. Make sure it's the right treasure. He says, don't pour out your life investing in the finite. Instead, invest in what lasts for eternity. Build up treasure in heaven. So how do we do that? Well, if we want to invest in the right thing, we have to value the right thing. If we want to invest in the right thing, we have to value the right thing. Valuing the right thing isn't valuing what people think about us. Not that it's not important, but that's why we get caught up in materialism. It's just buying stuff we can't afford to impress people we don't like. And everybody said, amen, right? It's not what society says. Society says you need the newest iPhone and that will satisfy your soul, and that's not true. It's not seeking a life that's comfortable, because a life that's comfortable and safe is a boring life. So how do I know what's truly valuable? Well, Jesus said in verse 21, we got to check our treasure. He says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He says, invest in what? In real treasure. How do we do that? We must treasure the right things. We must treasure what is eternal. Why does it matter what I treasure? Because what you treasure controls your life. What you treasure controls what you love. What you treasure directs your affections. What you treasure directs how you spend your time. Example, you treasure your spouse, you will do anything for your spouse. Amen? You treasure your kids, you're going to do anything for your kids. You treasure Jesus. You're going to do anything for Jesus. But there's a flip side to that. Because when we treasure the wrong things, it gets us in trouble. Because there's also things out there, if I can say this word in church, that are stupid. That would get me in trouble with my kids. We don't say the S word at my house, right? There are some things that we treasure that are stupid. But because we treasure it, we will do anything for it. We'll chase it. We'll waste our time on it. We'll waste our energy on it. We'll, because we treasure it, we'll justify chasing it, telling ourselves lies that enable us to keep chasing it. How does that happen? Well, because what you treasure controls the heart. What you treasure controls your life. So if we want to build up eternal treasure, if we want to invest in eternal treasure, we have to pay attention to what our hearts treasure. Well, how do we learn what to treasure? How do we learn what our hearts treasure? Well, number three, you're like, I missed one and two. Yeah, sorry, I forgot to say one and two. Number three, we must be led and devoted to the one who is eternal. The one who is eternal will show us what that is eternal that has value. The one who is eternal knows what eternal treasure is. Well, who is that? Look at verse 24. So why Jesus puts this in here. No one can serve two masters, since either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So now Jesus starts talking specifically about money, and this is where we get nervous. Everybody gets uncomfortable. Pass out the offering plates, gentlemen. Let's go ahead and do this now while everybody's feeling guilty. No, why does Jesus turn to talk about money and the fact that money is going to war against treasuring the right thing? Because 2,000 years ago, money was the temporal thing that people seemed to struggle with the most. Hasn't changed, has it? Hasn't changed. Because when it comes to what's going to be master of my life or lord of my life, money and finances seems to be the thing that always is competing with God. And in this whole passage, Jesus is trying to show us that there's two different perspectives that will guide my life. One is a life that chases the temporary. The other is a life that chases the eternal. One is a life that views my money and my possessions and my gifts and my opportunities as things that I am the master of, that are all for me, by me. God is just a means for me to get more of these things. Or two, that everything I have, because I'm living for eternity, because I'm investing in eternal treasure, everything I have is given to me by God, for God, to the glory of God, to make an eternal difference. It's two different perspectives. And Jesus is telling us that one of these perspectives is better. One of these perspectives is better. And I know I was joking about money. You're like, is this a tithing sermon? Like, no, it's not. It's a treasure sermon. Let's not waste our lives on garbage that won't last sermon. Can we put that as the title? This is the do hard things. Don't waste your life on garbage that won't last sermon. Right? It's a seek treasure, invest in treasure, chase treasure, church, get all, like that'll preach, right? Get all the treasure you can, church. We like that sermon. It just makes sure it's the right treasure sermon. It's a make sure, church, that we're investing our lives in the right thing sermon, because one day you will die. Let's invest our lives in what matters. God gives us so much. And I'm not just talking about money here, right? This, again, I'm joking about it because we get uncomfortable, but the truth is that we will pour our lives out for something. You can say, I'm not giving my life to something. Yes, you are. We all pour our lives out for something. I'm just begging you to give your life to the right thing. Because God gives us gifts. He gives us resources. He gives us tools. He gives us relationships. Yes, and he even gives us money. And he gives us these things as believers to steward well for him. And we have to, I have to constantly check my heart. I have to constantly check my treasure. I have to constantly check who is my master, so that I can make sure that I'm stewarding and investing what God has given me in the right things. And I say I have to because it's not always just a one-time choice. God, it's yours, I'm going. No, I'm an idiot just like the rest of us. Can I say that, right? You're like, he called me an idiot? No, not you, just the other person next to you. That's what I was talking about, right? Sorry. Me? No, not you. Another one, right? I do dumb stuff. And I chase dumb things. And I get caught up in dumb things too. And I have to constantly check my heart, check my motives, check my treasure to make sure that I'm investing and stewarding what God has given me well. Why? So that I'm not wasting my life on finite stuff that doesn't matter, but on things that are eternal. Amen? Why? Because I want to live a life that matters. And I want to live a life that makes a difference. And I don't think that I'm going to get up in heaven and God's going to be like, Mike, that Jeep, awesome. I mean, he might, right? He might. He's pretty cool, right? But I do hope that I would get to heaven and he would say, Mike, the way you poured out your life, the way you stewarded what I gave you, the way that you were obedient, well done, good and faithful servant. And that, church, is what I want. And church is what I want for you too. That we would be wise stewards of the gifts that God gives us. And the gifts that he gives us, we always think about it's just money, but it's not just that. It's relationships that we would see our spouse, our kids, our family as gifts that God gives us to steward and love well. That I would teach my own kids, my four boys, to that I would raise them to value what is eternal over what is finite. That I would teach them to seek what matters, not what is popular or what people think makes them cool, but what a valuable life really looks like. And here's the truth is that, speaking to the parents here, but the way our kids learn that is by what they see us treasure. The way they learn that is by not what we tell them, but what they see us seek with our lives. The relationships that God gives us have eternal value. May we treat them as such. May we steward them well. And yes, God gives us money to steward and invest wisely. May we invest our money wisely so that it can make an eternal impact. Amen? And let me stop here and jokes aside, let me brag on our church for a minute. Like, you do a very good job of that, I think. I think we do a good job of that. Here's what I mean. Last week, we raised over $7,000 to send kids to church camp. Can we get up for that? Right? But then, the best part of all of that was we got up on the stage and Billy said, hey, we need 600, like, or the way Billy said it was great because he didn't even ask for it. He just said, man, we got $7,500 and we were about $600 away from being fully funded to camp. We got up here and said, $600, let's see if we can do that. And church, last week you committed over $1,200 to send kids to camp. You went over and above with generosity. So yes, right? And why do we do that? So we can send kids to camp? No, because those kids are going to go to church camp, hear the gospel, and we pray, have their lives changed forever. Why? Investing in eternal treasure. That's what that is. And you did it. And I'm just proud of our church for that, man. Like every time we stand up here with the need, whether it's like jackets at the clothing drive, or we were like, hey, we want to help people who don't have jackets, who are in need, give them jackets. So please bring jackets. And y'all brought jackets and jackets and jackets and jackets. Like, where did all the jackets come from, right? Like, really, were y'all stealing people's jackets? Like we're creating the need by stealing jackets from people so that we can provide for the need. Like, right? Like Pastor Dan, we joke all the time. We're like, we stand up here and ask this church for something that there's a need that needs to be met. We're almost afraid because you're going to meet it so much, right? Like, we asked for 10,000 Easter eggs. We got 13,000 Easter eggs. We asked for jackets. That building out there was like jackets are just falling out of it, right? Like, you're a generous church. Why? Because we want to invest in the right things. We want to invest in the right things. And I'm grateful to be your pastor because I'm proud to be your pastor, right? And so may we always be like that, investing our resources, our money, in things that are eternal. And of course, that's things like tithing. Those are the basics. But it's also by being generous with our finances and looking to go above and beyond with our finances, looking for opportunities that God might open up so that we can bless somebody and change their life. Right? It's why we as a church, and I'm going to talk about this all the time because I want you to know it, all of our tithes and offering that come in, we budget 10% of all tithes and offerings to go out for our I Love My City ministries and our missions ministries. Why? Because we understand that even the River Church is finite. It's hard to say. Even the River Church is finite, but God's kingdom is not finite. It's eternal, and so we invest in his kingdom. We invest in his kingdom. God gives us relationships to steward. He gives us finances to steward, and he gives us time to steward. We all have an amount of time that God allows us on this earth to steward well. A finite amount of time that, yes, it's finite, but it's an amount of time that can make an eternal difference. Amen? And so may we even look at our time as something that we steward well to serve one another, to love one another, to encourage one another. May we be looking for opportunities that God gives us with the time that we have to make a difference. And again, let me say this. This is another thing that as I was crafting this sermon or writing this sermon, I am so proud of our church. Because I believe that, man, you guys invest your time wisely, I think. We look at our dream team that we have and people who serve every week at our church, and we have over 100 people who are involved at the River Church who serve in some capacity in some way. That's amazing, right? When we do, again, our I Love My City events, we got so many people showing up to serve that we're like, I don't know, walk around and just say hi to people, right? Like, thank you for being here. We got people who serve in community groups, and there's just so many different ways. Again, why? So that our church can be awesome? No, but it is. Amen, right? No. So that our lives can make a difference. Not just in this world, it does, but also in eternity. Why? Because ultimately, Jesus is challenging us to have one of two perspectives. But here's the thing, is that for the Christian, really, there's only one perspective for us to choose. And it's the right one. Why? Because for the Christian, we are called and challenged to view life differently than everyone else. We're called to view the resources that God gives us differently than everyone else. Why? Because we have to? No, because we get to. Because we get to live lives that matter. We get to live lives that God gives us that can have an impact in eternity. And I want to live a life that impacts eternity. Anybody else? So today we ask the question, it's a simple question. What am I investing my life in? Am I chasing temporary treasure that's going to end up in a dumpster? Or am I piling up piles and piles and piles of treasure in heaven that will last forever? May all we do as individuals and as a church invest in a kingdom that is so much more bigger and so much more beautiful than we could ever imagine. May we invest in a kingdom, not the River Church, but God's kingdom and God's church that will last forever. May we even, if I can say this, may we even be greedy in storing up treasure in heaven, because I want to get there. I want to see piles of cash. Amen? Right, piles, right? I don't know what if they got currency in heaven, but whatever it is, I want lots of it. Amen? All right. May we store up treasure, the right treasure. Amen? Stand with me, church. Jesus, we love you, and we are so grateful, God, that you give us relationships and finances and time, all these different resources that you give us, that we have the opportunity to steward well. So God, help us to steward them well. Help us to see the resources that you give us as opportunities to make a difference, not just in this world, but a difference that can impact eternity, God. May we choose the right perspective. May we choose the right treasure, God. And man, remind us of what is the right treasure whenever maybe we get a little bit off, Jesus. Because we want to live a life that matters. It's in Christ's name we pray, and everybody said,